there can always go begin. So then, as we go on, so we'll see nafkaminis to the so does as we're learning. Okay, so last time we dealt with the issue of ne'ekar mimekomo v'yotza, isha shiyotza dam mimekora, and now we're going to talk about the three words of v'hu shetargish b'yitziyaso. You saw that the background of this halacha, v'hu shetargish b'yitziyaso, namely that there's only going to be a nida mida oraisa when there's hargasha, that's what the Shachlevir points out, Haino midoraisa, midrabanan, we're all aware that there's tuma even without hargasha, what we call the world of ketamim. That the makar for this world of hargasha is a drasha of Shmuel on a pasuk at the beginning of the eighth perek of Nida, that when the perek begins to speak about ketamim, so Shmuel points out that there are such that one of the necessary conditions for Tumas Nida Midoraisa and Yisrael Abal Midoraisa is Amar Shmuel Badka. Well, we won't deal with the case itself. Shene Amar Bibisara Ad She Targish Bibisara Ad She Targish Bibisara. That aside from the Re'ia, one also needs a Hargasha. I sent you to the Sidrei Tahara. I hope that you get a sense of.
Some of us went, but we didn't find.
So that's why I'm here. So I'll be happy to point my finger. I thought I gave you the Dibur HaMaskil. Okay. I'm sorry. So, but that's why Rav Eliyev is in the Beis Medrash. Okay. No one was there yesterday. What can we do? What was yesterday?
I was here Sunday.
What was yesterday? Okay. Thought I was here. So in any case, in the Sidrei Tahara. Okay, so in the Sidrei Tahara, where I sent you to, okay, in Siman Kuf Tzadi, in Sif Katan Tzadi Gimel, I believe. In other words, I sent you to the Dibur Hamaskil, Terem Achala B'dinei Kesamim, that before I complete dealing with Dinei Kesamim, Matzasi Chova Leva'er, I'd like to explain what is going on in terms of the background of Kesamim. And the next paragraph he says is Kfar Amdu, he gives a Chakira, and points out Kfar Amdu Chakira Zobishel Sachubos Maharam Lublin, Vahasharal Hagon Hamari Segel, that the Shalah, Rabbi Yeshaya Segel Horovitz, the Shalah wrote to the Maharam Milublin and asked him the following Chakira. How do we understand this din of Hargasha? Is this din of Hargasha a Gzera Sakosuv? That we need Hargasha under all circumstances, or is it what he calls a Birur? Namely, that if we're not sure where this Dam came from, did it come from the Makor, and it's Dam Nida, or did it come from elsewhere, the Hargasha is going to be Mevarer to us. This is our Eidus that it came from the Makor. My Nafgamina would be 100%. Let's say that a woman goes to a doctor, and he tells her that he sees Dam coming out of the Makor. There's no question over here. We don't need a Birur. The doctor is the Mevarer. He sees Dam coming out of the Makor. And the woman says, but I don't feel anything. So what is her status? Is she not a Nida because she doesn't have a feeling? Or no, we all need the feeling to prop up, to give us a Vados of her situation. If we get the Vados from another source, then she's a Nida Midoraisa. What are we talking about over here? So, L'chora, if one looks in the classic Rishonim, it appears that they were aware of this Chakira, and they went Bedafka in one direction. The Chidushei HaRamban, on Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis, I'm quoting, Afilu Vadai Migufa Chazoi. We don't need a Birur. Vadai Migufa Chazoi, Yesh Gzeras HaKosuv Shetahora. It says black and white. It's Gzeras HaKosuv. Hu hadin in the Hilchos Nida of the Ramban, in Perek Dalad, which deals with Ksamim Aleph, he starts off to be a Nida Mida Araisa, you need Hargasha, that the Re'ia is not enough. And the Rashba in the Torah Sabayis goes in the footsteps of the Ramban. The Torah Sabayis is in Bayis Shvi'i, Sha'ar Revi'i. Bayis Shvi'i is the whole Bayis that talks about Nida. Sha'ar Dalad is where he talks about Ksamim. Similarly, the Ran, in the Chidushei HaRan, on Nida, Daf Nun Zayin Amad Beis, and Daf Nun Amad Aleph, the Ravid in the Balei HaNefesh, the Sefer HaChinuch, the Meiri, the Or Zarua, the Agos Maimini, all say black and white, and that's what it appears from the Rambam. From the Rambam, I'm aware that it's more of a diuk, but that's the way Lechora, one certainly can be medayik. I'm aware that the Sidrei Tahara was not medayik that way. He was medayik the other way, the opposite. But that's the whole nature of learning Rambam, that lends itself to more than one perspective. So the Rambam in the beginning of Perek Tes states, Perek Tes, Halacha Aleph, Ein Isha mit Tam'a min HaTorah Benida o Beziva Ad Shetargish V'Tir'e Dam V'Yetze Mibisara Kamo Shebi Arnu. Okay? And then he continues, V'im Lo Hirgisha Ubad Ka Umatza Hadam Lifnim Baprozdor Hareza B'Cheska Sheba B'Hargasha Kamo Shebi Arnu. What if we were to see blood and we're certain because of the place of the blood that it must be coming from the Makor, but the woman didn't say, I wasn't Margisha. We say she's a Nida Midaraisa, because Barra that she was Margisha. I mean, you need Hargasha. We have this Zeres HaKosov that without Hargasha, nothing is going to get off the ground. But sometimes we have an Anansaha day, we have an Umdana, that Vadai, there was a Hargasha. Like if you were ever an aide at a wedding, and all of a sudden, just at the moment when the chassan's about to put the tabat, then the photographer and the video and the mother of the, in other words, and then you just hear Mekudeshet, right? But you didn't see anything, and you're the aide, right? So do you can you sleep nights? In other words, you have to worry about the fact that there's no kedushin here. So we have a concept of because of the umdana of all the surroundings and the anansadeh that barur that no one would have yelled Mekudeshet. If it hadn't actually occurred. And so you can be made on the circumstances, and that's considered to be vados. There are many, many such situations that we have. So that's the way that I think that one certainly can read the Rambam, that it would go like the other Rishonim. And this is what Lechora made it to the tour. And this is what the Mechaber over here is pointing out, v'hu shetargish b'yitziato, that this is an intrinsic part of Nida Mida Oraisa. Without Hargasha, you can't get off the ground. However, even though this is the opinion of all of these mainstream Rishonim, the Sidrei Tahara himself did not view this as being Pashut. He felt it was a Machlokes Rishonim. And the Machlokes Rishonim could be a twofold Machlokes Rishonim. You're only going to have a requirement of Hargasha if we paskin like Shmuel. But as we pointed out in our Hakdama, the Rif doesn't quote Shmuel. The Rush doesn't quote Shmuel. If you recall that, we saw in the Sefer Eshkol, maybe they hold that Ksamim is Doraisa. They don't mention Hargasha. Okay, so then certainly Hargasha isn't going to be an intrinsic part of Nidus if it's not mentioned by the Rif and the Rush. But even if we paskin like Shmuel, and again, it's no raya from the fact that they don't quote Shmuel, they don't paskin like Shmuel. It's strange that they don't quote Shmuel. But even if assuming that we quote Shmuel, but our question is, do we have the right understanding of Shmuel? And this is simply a question of looking at the sugya. We have Shmuel giving us a principle that bibisara ad shetargish, you need hargasha. Then the Gemara brings toshma, toshma, toshma. We find all sorts of cases where it appears there's no hargasha, and that beholds that we have tumas nida. So they say, we're given ukimta. There was hargasha. Then at a certain point, the Gemara stops saying that there's an ukimta, and the bottom line on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis is Amarav Yirmei Amidifti Mode Shmuel Shitmei Amidrabanan. That all of those cases that mention tuma and don't have hargasha, that's a din drabanan. Shmuel was talking on a daraisa plane. You require hargasha. Midrabanan, we're going to have tuma, tumas nida yisur lebala, even without hargasha. We call ksamim. Then we have a line in the Gemara, Rav Ashi Omar, Shmuel hu da Omar k'Rav Nechemya. So the question over here is, what is the context of Rav Ashi? Rav Nechemya held that anything which is not mekabel tuma, there's not going to be nidus mida oraisa, maybe not even nidus drabanan. That we're going to have to see. But that one of the requirements of Nidus is that it be seen on a Davar HaMakabel Tumah. This nowadays is tremendously important because many items of clothing that women wear or pads or all sorts of cotton patches, etc., may not be Makabel Tumah, and that has a lot of halacha l'maisa ramifications. And so Shmuel, so Rav Ashi says Shmuel agrees with Rav Nechemya. So Tosus points out that what the Gemara means is Shmuel certainly needs Hargasha. But he points out that Hargasha is not enough. You also need a Dover HaMakabel Tumah. And therefore, in that case of Shmuel, Bodka Karka Olam V'yashva Lavu Matzah Dam Aleha Tahora. Namely, that Shmuel says, even if this woman had been Margisha, she would still be Tahora, at least on a Doraisa plane, because it was Karka Olam. We're dealing with the ground. The ground's not Makabel Tumah. And we'll have to deal with toilets, v'chule, you know, that are connected to the ground. We'll talk about all of these things later. But that, you know, it's that nothing changed in the Gemara other than adding another condition for Tumah. Namely, Shmuel requires Hargasha, Pasuk, and he also requires this condition of Davar HaMakabel Tumah. And without that, that would bring about a level of Tahora, again, either Doraisa or Drabanan. So Tosfos is, you know, where it's still within the mainstream. However, the Sidrei Tahara is Bedayik in Rashi. Rashi says, Rav Ashi Omar, Taima de Shmuel Damar Le'el Bodka Karka Olam, Lav Mishum Hargosha. Ela Karav Nechem Yisfir Le, Delo His Kiru Chachamim Gzeras Kesem, Ela Adarva Mekabel Tuma. Hilkoch, Kol Hani Tiyufta Lav Kushin Ninu, De Shmuel Lo Airi Bahargosha Klal. Rashi says, no, we misunderstood Shmuel. Shmuel never required Hargosha. When Shmuel was medayik in the pasuk, ad shetargish bebesara, he meant ad shetir ebebesara. He meant you have to have a re'iyah, and we have to be sure that it's from the basar. That the hargasha was simply a birur, but you really don't need a hargasha qua hargasha. All we know have to do is know that it comes min hamakar, and then we also, and once we say that way, so the hargasha is really gomalev or gomorid if we know where it's coming from, based on her posture. We can know that it's coming min hamakor, but the reason that Shmuel said over there that it's tahora is because of Rav Nechemya. Namely, Rav Ashi is like an ego amar Rav Ashi. The Rav Ashi turns the whole sugya on its head. Up to now, we felt Shmuel needed hargasha. And so the Gemara came to say, we're talking about there was a hargasha. Or we're talking about it's really only tamei midrabanan. Ego amar Rav Ashi? No. We're misunderstanding Shmuel. Shmuel doesn't require hargasha. All it requires is a vade re'iyah. The vade re'iyah we can know because it's a doctor that tells us. The vade re'iyah we can know because of the posture and where the blood is. In other words, it doesn't leave very, very much, very many alternatives as to where this blood is coming from. But, so why then did Shmuel say tahora? Because he paskins like Rav Nechemya that karka olam is not mekabel tumah. If you learn Rashi like that, Then nowadays there's no need for hargasha. There's only a need for a yediyah that this dam is coming min hamakar. And as long as we know that from any source, from a doctor, from pasture, from the place of the aid, etc., then she's a nida mida oraisa. And the Sidrei Tara says if you look in Rashi after Rashi, look in Rashi in Baba Kama and Daf Lamech Ches. Look at Rashi later on Daf Samach Beis. Look at Rashi earlier in Nida on Daf Hey. Rashi never mentions Hargasha. He just mentions you need a Re'iyah. You don't need more than a Re'iyah. She Yeda Shehu Min HaMakor. Sidrei Tahara then goes on a warpath and says this is not only Rashi. This is also the Tosfos Rid. He's also Medayik in the Tosfos Rid. And he has all sorts of Diyukim. And again, he wants to say this is also the Rambam. But we do have one Rishon who does say this black and white, but the Sidrei Tara didn't have this Rishon. This Rishon is the son of the Rav Yitzchak Or Zeruah, Rav Chaim Or Zeruah. We have Tshuvas of Rav Chaim Or Zeruah. Probably the most famous Tshuva of Rav Chaim Or Zeruah is that the mitzvah of Mila is not that the father be mal the son and that the moel is his shliach in the maisa, but rather that the father sees to it that his son is nimol. In other words, and he's mekayim the mitzvah midaraisa, even without telling the moel, you are my shliach, right? Simply that the father says, see, and of course that would, Baruch Hashem, take the father out of all these pictures, you know, where the person thinks he's being machmir. There's no need for the father to be the moel. It's not a din of mitzvah boyish. It's just that he has to see that it's done in the most proper manner. In any case, that's a tshuva of the Ma'arach Or Zeruah. Ma'arach Or Zeruah was a very, very independent thinker, b'chlal. So at the end of tshuva, Kuf Yud Beis, which deals with the whole inyan of Roa Machmas Tashmish that we'll talk about, which can cause a woman, unfortunately, to have to leave her husband. At the end, he says, let's get back to basics. What makes a woman a Nida Mida Oraisa? And first he quotes from his Rebbe, Rav Meir Rav Baruch, the Maharami Rutenberg. And then he says, Ubohayosi Benuistat, when I was in this town in Germany, Dibarti Baze Emori Rebovadia, Veheshivli, Shepirush, Ad Shetargish Bibisara. You want to know what Shmuel meant when he said Ad Shetargish Bibisara? Then he says the word Kromar. Okay. Whenever you see the word Kromar, that should light red lights, in other words, bells should go off in your head. Namely, someone is going to take these words out of their literal meaning. Right? Kromar. Shematza dam bebesara, afilum ena margeshet biyitziyato. Kagon dam shenimtza beprozdor. Chayavim alav bias mikdash and on the raisa plain, afal pishalohir gisha babiyitziyaso min hamokar. But Shmuel said, ad shetargish. No. Ad shetargish means until she is certain that this is the source of the blood. Not certain because she has a feel of a flow. Could be for any reason. Could be because of the place of the blood. That's all that it means. Here he says black and white. All you require is a vaday re'iya. Nothing more than the vaday re'iya. So barer that we have a machokas rishonim. Okay? So on one side we have the rishonim that are black and white. The Ramban, the Rashba, the Ran, the Ravid. They're black and white. You can be medayik in the Rambam, l'shitatam. On the other side we have the Maharach Or Zeruah, who's black and white. And you can be medayik in Rashi, the Tosus Rid. Perhaps also the Rif and the Rush, if we'll understand that they didn't quote Shmuel because you don't require Hargasha. So we have over here a Machlokes Rishon. Before we see how we paskin, just to try and understand the Shitos, if we understand like the Ramban, we'll call the Shita the Ramban. If we understand like the Ramban, that you require Hargasha Mida Oraisa, so it's clear that if there's a Riyah without Hargasha, that's going to be a Ketel, right? That's going to be an Iser Drabana. We understand why it's only Drabana, because we're missing the core. But if we understand, you don't require Hargasha. All you require is a Yediyah Vada'it that's been Hamakar. What then should be the din of a Ketel, if we're not sure where it's from? It should be a Safik Daraisa. A drabanan is not a suffix d'oraisa. Namely, why would we have? No, it's l'chora. This is a raya to the world of the Ramban. If ketamim are midrabanan, that implies that hargasha is a necessary condition. And since it's missing, therefore we have over here a drabanan. But if hargasha is not a necessary condition, we require yedia, and the kesem we have no idea where it's from. We're not sure where it's from. L'chora, that should be a suffix d'oraisa. So here, there are two ways of dealing with this. One, if we say that the Rambam is on the side of Rashi, which is what the Sidrei Taira put out, I'm sorry, the Ma'arach Or Zeruah, so there's a famous Shita of the Rambam that everyone is aware of. It's the Rambam both in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, and in Hilchos Avos Hatuma, and in Hilchos Kilayim. Is that elsewhere as well? Remember. The Rambam paskins that Safek d'oraisa mi d'oraisa is mutter. The whole principle that Safek d'oraisa is l'chumra is a drabanan. Rabbanan said Safek d'oraisa l'chumra. So according to the Rambam, every Safek d'oraisa is really an Iser drabanan. Okay, if you want to look at one of the Rambams, and you could get any of them. Okay, in Kilayim it's Yud Kaf Zayin. In Avos Hatuma, it's Tetzayin Aleph, Yisurei Bia, Yudchet Yudzayin. And then there's a question what the Ravid holds in those places. I'm sorry, you want to say it again? Okay, in Tkilayim 10:27, in Avos Hatuma 16:1, and in Yisurei Bia 18:17. That makes it easier? Okay. The Seder for Hashem, for me as well, don't worry. Were it to be typing. Okay, so if this is Shita the Rambam, so then it's one and the same. Safek d'oraisa is an Iser drabana. Okay. However, that's a Da'as Yochid. And maybe the Rambam is on the other side of the equation altogether. So the Sidrei Tara points out, I think in Hawaii they were in Bar Mitzvah not too long ago, right? 2 years ago?
2 years.
2 years ago. So everyone knows that there's a sugya of Tokfa Kohen. Right? That after you finish the first sugya of Moshe Mechavel of Haraya, then you move over and you think, now you can flow. You hit Tokfa Kohen, you're there for a month. But usually they're there for a month because of the teiku. What does teiku mean? And the kuntrus Tokfa Kohen of the shach. But there's another point over there that when you're ma'asir behema, and then an animal jumps back into the pen, that then we can no longer give ma'asir behema. Why? Because it's batel berov, but we say asiri vaday amar rachmana v'lo asiri safek. Sometimes when the Torah states something, there's no room for safek. Namely, we don't say safek d'oraisa l'chumra. There are certain cases where the Torah is telling us we need a certain vado'us. So we need a vado'us in ma'aser behema. Asiri vaday amar rachmana lo asiri safek. Or in the world, those who learned Kedushin, the fourth parak, the world of Asara Yuchsin. Mamzer vaday amar rachmana velo safek mamzer. That if you have a safek mamzer or a safek kahal, then it's not that we have a safek d'oraisa l'chumra. We say it's mutter. That either you're a full mamzer or you're mutter. So hu hadin may be over here, asher zav bebesara, we need vadai zav bebesara, and not suffik. Namely, and therefore, when you're dealing with the ketem, where you are missing the hargasha, so where you're missing the yediyah, I'm sorry, according to the shita chamer chem vazirua, dealing with the ketem, we're missing the yediyah, it's not a suffik da'oraisa. Not every suffik da'oraisa do we say l'chumra. There are those spekos da'oraisa that are muter. And then it's only going to be Aser Durabanim. Okay, so this then remains our Machlokas Rishonim. How do we paskin? So the Aruch HaShulchan pretty much sums up the approach of all Achronim to this issue, aside from the Sidrei Tahara. The Aruch HaShulchan is by us in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel. Right, even though Kuf Pei Gimel has only one Si'if, but the Aruch HaShulchan has 70 sifim ketanim on this one sif. So in sif Mem Zayin, he says, "Kol Rabosenu Harishonim Vachronim Hiskimu Dimina Torah Ein Isha Tmeya Kishiyotzeh Minu Dam Elim Kein Yotzeh Hadam BeHargasha." Namely, the Avabli Hargasha Afilu Yotzeh Hadam MeHamakar. Even if we have Vados, Ein ha'isha tmeya min ha'Torah, kedemvur benido, amar shmuel batka karka olam, v'yashalef, umatzalem aleha Torah, sh'neemar bebesara, ad sh'targish bebesara. V'ein choik bezeh, v'chein pasku kol ha'poskin. I, the Sidrei Tara, lived before the Aruch HaShulchan, so he says, echad mehagedolim, if it doesn't mention by name, echad mehagedolim, rotzo lasot chadashot binyan zeh, and claim it's machokis rishonim. No, all of his yukim are wrong, and there's really no machokas rishonim. In other words, you can say there's machokas rishonim, but we don't paskin like the Ma'arach or Zeruah. Okay. So in any case, it's not just the Aruch HaShulchan; it's the Taz in the beginning of Siman Kuf Tzadi. If the Shach over there, the Taz is Sifkatan Aleph, the Shach is Sifkatan Gimel. The Shach points out that if we have a ketana. Even if it's clear she's meluchachas bedamim, we see the blood, we're going to say that she's not going to be a nida d'oraisa, kevan shelo hirgisha. That she has no emunus in terms of telling us about her feelings, so we have no idea that there's a hargasha, and so it takes for granted, it's not a question of a yediyah, of a birur, it's a question of a gzeras hakosav. The no de Yehuda in Yoredeya, chelok aleph, in other words, no de Yehuda chelok aleph in Yoredeya siman, Nunhei, Vachuled, everyone says that you require Hargasha as Gzeres HaKosov. But that doesn't really solve our problem because we could still declare a Chakira as to what is the nature of the Gzeres HaKosov, that we need Hargasha. Because let's take the world of Ksamin. We can ask ourselves, if we need, let's say now we're going to say, we paskin. Mi da'orais, you need a hargasha. We have a woman who wasn't margish anything. And she sees dam. She sees dam on her underwear. There was no hargasha. We say, Rabbanan say it's asur because of ksamin. Why would Rabbanan make such a gzeira? Rabbanan weren't masochists. I mean, this puts a lot of women in a lot of tzaros, etc. Why make a gzeira if this woman is tahora? If we have a pasuk that says that without hargasha, there's nothing to talk about, so why make a gzeira? So here it's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. This is the Rashi before Rav Ashi. Rashi before Shmuel turned over. When we still assumed, even according to Rashi, that Shmuel needed a hargasha, so Rashi says, Midrab, top Rashi, Dafin Chesemed Aleph. Why did Chazal make this gzeira tuma midrabanan? Dilma argisha velav ada'ata. That hargasha, we're going to learn next time when we talk about hargasha, is a very, very sensitive, subjective area. And it's something that is not obvious. It's not as though the woman all of a sudden gets the heebie-jeebies and begins to shake, v'chule, v'chule. No, it's an inner feeling, and we are very much aware that women are known to multitask. So picture yourself the woman holding the baby on the right shoulder, answering the telephone with the left hand, and checking what's doing with the kugel in the oven, and she has a hargasha. Dilma argasha v'lava daita. Maybe she's just overwhelmed with tasks 1, 2, and 3, and can't concentrate on task 4. And since hargasha would turn her into a nida d'oraisa, namely under mint conditions, she would have felt the hargasha. In other words, when her husband comes home, she hands over the baby, turns off the telephone, and turns off the oven, and lies down. Then she would feel the hargasha. So the fact that she didn't feel it earlier doesn't mean that there wasn't a hargasha. It's just that the context, and the context, that's a woman's context for most of the hours of her day. And so, therefore, Rabbanan made a gzeira, dilma argasha v'lava daita. That's Rashi. Tosus over there quotes Rashi and disagrees. Ain nira. Nothing doing. He says, why? Afilu muchzak la shelo hirgisha. Let's say this woman has been studying transcendental meditation, okay? And she was trained to meditate on her body, right? And she meditates and she feels her blood rushing through her veins. She feels her heart beating. She feels the air going into her lungs, right? She would also feel a hargasha. But let's say she doesn't feel the hargasha. Does that mean that there's no ketem? So Tosa says, no, we're not going to distinguish between this woman who's under the influence of a guru and the woman in Beis Yaakov. We're not going to make such distinctions. Ein nira, afilu muchzak la shelo hirgisha. She's certain that there was no hargasha. Tmeya. Why? Hoil v'ra'ata dam nidus. Boom. Namely, Tosa over here is telling us, Rashi and I have a very, very different understanding of what is going on with a woman who sees blood without a hargasha. Rashi says, without a hargasha, this woman is zero. Namely, she is tahora legamre. That's not damnidus. Damnidus is defined by hargasha. When she has a hargasha, that's damnidus. When there's no hargasha, there's not damnidus. Tosa says, no. You can't say that blood coming out of a woman is not damnidus. But the Torah is telling us you need two conditions. A, we need a ri'iyah of dam, and B, we need a hargasha. So according to Tosfos, when you have a lack of a hargasha, you have a ri'iyah without a hargasha, you have 50%. That's something that Rabbanan would be gozer on. When you have the two conditions, then she's a nida d'oraisa. When you have one condition, then she's a nida midrabbanan. According to Rashi, there aren't two conditions. Ri'iyas, nida, and hargasha are one and the same. Without hargasha, there is no ri'iyah. That's what Shmuel is saying. Not Shmuel is saying, v'hu shetargish, on top of the ri'iyah, we need a hargasha. No, no, no. That's the way Tosus learns. Rashi learns, v'hu shetargish, that's going to define damnida. And therefore, if she sees blood without a hargasha, she's tahora legamre. She has nothing. But why then did Rabbanan go there? Dilma argasha v'lavadaita. Okay, so Rashi is assuming that there's only one factor that creates nidus, hargasha. Hargasha defines dam nida. And without that factor, it's nothing. But since that factor is hard to determine, Rabbanan made a gzeira dilma argasha v'lavadaita. According to Tosas, there are two factors. Dam nidus is objective. Hargasha is subjective. If she has the objective condition and lacks the subjective condition, then midaraisa she's tahora, and midrabanan she is tmeia. Okay, my nafgamina. So nafgamina over here is a very, very powerful nafgamina. Yeah. Yeah, according to Tosfos, there are every nida, to be a nida d'oraisa, requires two factors. A, an objective ri'iyas dam. B, a hargosha. She needs these two. Objective ri'iyas dam, min ha-makor, and B, a hargosha.
That makes it
d'oraisa. If we lack the hargosha, that's Shmuel added. You know, you don't only need a ri'iyah, you also need a hargosha. Without the hargosha, so we have one out of the two factors. Mi d'oraisa, she is tahora. Mi d'rabanan, she's tmeya. Like we find many times that rabbanan take someone who has a number of the conditions, but not all of the conditions, and will say, that may not be enough for the d'oraisa, but it's enough for the d'rabanan. Okay, yeah? Okay. That's exactly where we're moving to. Okay, we're moving to that now. In other words, but Rashi. In other words, again, I'm not. This is not a shot of Miller. This is Tosfos, right? Tosfos says Pirish Hakuntris Talina Dilma Argasha Valavadaita Ve'ein Nira Dafilu Muchzak La Shelo Hirgisha Tmeya Hol V'Rasa Dam Nidus. Okay, the Tosfos is telling us that according to Rashi, the Hargasha is the only factor to take into account. And if we would have a woman who would meditate without Hargasha, then she would be Tahora, Midaraisa, and Midrabana. And that's Golpluk. In other words, that there would be no reason for Rabbanan to make a Gzeira on such a woman. If all women meditated, Rabbanan never would have made their Gzeira. Because they would know when they have a Hargasha. The Rabbanan only made the Gzeira because most women are not into meditating on their body, and therefore it could very well be that they missed the Hargasha, and maybe really their Nida D'oraisa. Since Rabbanan made a Gzeira, they don't want people, even B'shogeg, or to be over Isurim of Kores. But Tosa says, no. In other words, we had the reason that she is Timea is because she saw Dam Nidut. She already had the 50%. She's missing the Hargasha. That is not enough of a reason to make her d'oraisa. Shmuel says you need hargasha midoraisa, but it's enough of a reason to make her a nida midrabanan. So the nafgamina would be, again, just go back one second. If we go back to our original machlokes in the Ramban and the Maharach or Zeruah, what was a nafgamina? If a woman knew that the dam was min hamakar, but without a hargasha. That was our original nafgamina. Now the nafgamina will be, as Shmuel points out, the mirror image. What if we have a woman who has a hargasha and doesn't see any blood? She has a hargasha but doesn't see any blood. So theoretically what should be is that according to Rashi, the hargasha is telling us that there was blood. Hargasha and ri'iyah are one and the same. There was blood and it was nevad. There was blood and it got lost. Unless we're going to find some other source for the Hargasha. Unless we know that women, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Niflaos Habore. I mean, when we looked at the, if you looked at the women's reproductive system, that should blow anyone's mind away in terms of Niflaos Habore. You have this little 7-centimeter thingamajig, and all of a sudden this baby grows in it, and it just grows and it grows, and then it opens and it closes, and it goes back to 7. It's mind-blowing. But another aspect of Nifros Habore is that a woman has an opening to her body. She has an opening, which is always open. In other words, think to us if we had an opening on our had a cut on our finger, right? We put antibiotics on it and bandages, v'chule. Otherwise, we can get gangrene. Who knows what could happen to us? And here a woman has an opening to her body. And she doesn't, she's wearing underwear, that's all. In other words, so what goes on? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a system where there's constantly hafrashot. There's constantly liquid which is flushing the system out. Constantly. Sometimes that it's green, sometimes it's white, sometimes it's colorless. That these are called hafrashot tahorot. It's not blood, just to clear out the system, just to keep flushing the system, that it shouldn't get infected. And therefore, that's the norm. When you have a woman who is who has a bit of an issue, sometimes the area is dry. But that's the unusual, that a woman would need a gel to keep the area moist. Generally, the moisture is part and parcel of the physiology of the woman. That's nifros habore. We don't need it because we don't have anything open, but a woman has something which is open, so there's constantly being flushed. So if a woman has a hargasha, it could be because of dam nidus, or it could be she feels the flushing. She feels so if a woman to have a hargasha and check herself and see, there's no color, nothing, there's no liquid, there's nothing to link it in with. According to Rashi, she's at least a suffix, nida midoraisa. Masha'en kain, according to Tosfos, no, the hargasha is one of two factors. Without a re'ia, the hargasha isn't going to make her a nida, and we don't find Chazal making a gzeira on hargasha. Chazal made a gzeira on a re'ia without hargasha. Chazal never made a gzeira on a hargasha without re'ia. This is what's known as the shita of the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen is... it's Trumas Hadeshen is Rav Yisrael Isserlin. He was one of the Gedolim of Rishonei Ashkenaz when the Beis Yosef had to write his Perush. So, of course, the Beis Yosef had in front of him the Rif and the Rambam and the Rosh, and 90% of Beis Yosef is Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Rif, Rambam, Rosh. That's 90% of Beis Yosef. What's the other 10%? The Trumas Hadeshen and the Trumas HaRashba. In other words, to fill in with, so the Beis Yosef in Siman Kuf Peiches quotes this Trumas Hadeshen. The cause of old Betrumas Hadeshen Af al pishi her gisha ha'isha shniftach mekora ubad kamiyad umatzala eid lachluchis levan. If a woman felt a hargasha, checked herself and immediately found a white hafrasha, lo chashin an shema yotza tipas dam kachardal, etc. What is the other side of the Trumas Hadeshen? But when she didn't find the lavan, then she is tmeya. Why is she tmeya? Because of the hargasha. The business says on that, nearly chumrus yiseros hein les tachashlehu. That's off the wall. That a woman who has a hargasha, checks herself, doesn't find anything, she's going to be a nida midoraisa, off the wall. Darkei Moshe says over there, off the wall. Mashe kosev ha-maharid, the hargasha do'oraisa, k'demashe perek roha kesem, tzarech iyun. Whoever heard of such a thing, you have to find something. Lo ra'isi echa min ha-poskim shekosev l'tamosa b'hargasha, b'lo ra'yaklal, l'chein dvarav tzrichim iyun. However, the difference between the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe is that the Beis Yosef was from Chachmei Sfarad. So he could take a Trumas Hadeshen and say, Chumra Yaseir. The Darkei Moshe, he's in Krakow. He can write Dvarav Tzarech Iyun. So when it comes to the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Peches, the Beis Yosef just doesn't mention the Trumas Hadeshen at all. Never made it into the Shulchan Aruch over here. However, the Ramah says that... Im hirgisha shniftach mekora ubad kamiyad velamatza klum, ayein lakaman siman kuf tzadi. Okay, he gives us a maramakom. Okay, so we open up siman kuf tzadi. There, the Beis Yosef also quotes the Trumas Hadeshen, but he doesn't reject the Trumas Hadeshen. And there, in siman kuf tzadi, when we move to the Shulchan Aruch, in sif aleph, in siman kuf tzadi, sif aleph. There, the Beis Yosef says, "In hergisha shniftach mekora lohotzi dam ubadka achar kach lo matza klum yesh misha omer shehi tmeya yesh misha omer shehi tmeya taz shani omer dam yatza kachar dov neskaneach onimok the hargasha do oraisahi hecha derecha lemitri b'midi achrina trumas hadeshem iviyo Beis Yosef." Here, the Beis Yosef quotes in the Shulchan Aruch the Trumas Hadeshen as a Yesh Misha Omer, and there's no Hasaga of the Ramah. So the Ramah is saying, this is like off the wall, but it's a Trumas Hadeshen. And, I'm not going to put it into my Shulchan Aruch, but if the Beis Yosef puts it into his Shulchan Aruch, I'm not going to say that this is a Chumra Yisera. Namely, this Trumas Hadeshen, L'chora, is the Nafgamina between these two approaches of Rashi and Tosfos to the din of the Ksamim. Why were Chazal gozer on Ksamim? If Chazal were gozer, kasdil ba'argasha d'lavadaita, that hargasha is that which is the only factor that defines a nida, then here we have the factor that defines a nida, and therefore she's tmei amida raisa. But according to Tosfos, no, there are two factors defining a nida, dam nidus and hargasha. Chazal made their gzeira because you have one of two factors. And so in this case also, you have one of two factors, and Chazal didn't make a gzeira. In other words, Chazal made a gzeira when you have ri'iyah without hargasha. Chazal never even made a gzeira where you have hargasha without a ri'iyah. So this would fit in nicely according to us. So we find that the Beis Yosef was very ambivalent about this Trumas HaDeshen. He rejected it in Siman Kuf Pechet, but he brought it in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Tzadi as a Yesh Misha Omer. The Ramah was also ambivalent. He felt that it was a Tzarech Iyun, but he didn't feel that he was on the plane where he wanted to be Masik. In other words, he left the Halacha as is. Over there in Siman Kuf Tzadi, where the Beis Yosef, where the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Halacha, so there's a Pisrei Tshuva. Pisrei Tshuva brings in how do the Achronim relate to this Trumas HaDeshen? And we find the Machlokas within the Achronim. We'll deal with it Halacha L'maaseh when we get to it, but we have over here in this Pisrei Tshuva, he quotes. What does he quote? He quotes the Noda B'Yehuda, who rejected the Trumas HaDeshen. He quotes. Sifkatan Zayin. I was looking at the wrong Sifkatan. He quotes the Noda B'Yehuda, the Panim B'Iros. He quoted someone else at great length. The Shelos Yavetz also rejected the Trumas HaDeshen. Okay, he quotes a whole list of Tshuvas that reject the Trumas HaDeshen. That would be the Pashtus of Tosfos. But if you would understand like Rashi, then there's room to accept the Trumas HaDeshen. That you shouldn't be hanging in suspense. He quotes the shoot of the Yavetz who disagrees with the Trumas HaDeshen. He quotes also the Radvaz, and the Sidrei Tara quotes Radvaz to disagree with the Trumas HaDeshen. But the Noda B'Yehuda over there doesn't reject it totally. So Rav Ovadia, in his Taras Habayis, he says that she's Tmeya Misafek. She's Tmeya Misafek, Nafgamina, that she would have to go to be Asif her husband, go to the mikveh, wouldn't make a bracha in the mikveh. But another nafkimina would be, let's say that she was dreaming. We spoke about earlier a woman who thought she gave birth when she was dreaming. So let's say she was dreaming and she felt, well, she was dreaming that she had a hargasha. She woke up, checked herself, and didn't find anything. So here the Rav Ovadia and the Noda B'Yehuda say this is a sfeik sfeika. Safek if she had a hargasha at all. And even if she had a hargasha, do we pass on like the Trumas HaDeshen? So that, in other words, that we're only going to be machmir like the Trumas HaDeshen if we have a certainty. What we're going to see a little down the line is that when we talk about hargashas, is that there are many women who aren't sure exactly what a hargasha is. And so if a woman feels something, checks herself and finds white, checks herself and finds green, again, checks herself and finds something colorless. So he's saying this is not a hargasha. This is a ri'iyah tahor. This is not a ri'iyah. It's simply a hafrasha tahora. And whenever she'll have that feeling again, there's no need for her to check herself because it's obvious that it's simply that she's feeling the hafrashot. She's feeling the flushing action as opposed to feeling dam nida. But these are real questions, okay? So in any case, one nafgamina between Rashi's understanding of Gzeras Ketem and Tosis' understanding of Gzeras Ketem is, do we paskin like the, is there room for the Trumas HaDeshen? According to Rashi, there's room for the Trumas HaDeshen. According to Tosis, there's no room for the Trumas HaDeshen. Yes?
So I just
That's what Rashi is telling. In other words, the whole reason for he's talking about a ketem, but Tosfos is saying that why did Rashi have to come on? I'm understanding Rashi in the eyes of Tosfos. That Rashi in the eyes of Tosfos, why did Rashi have to come on to deal ma'argisha v'rav adaita? Let's simply say she saw dam nidus. There was no hargasha. That's enough of a reason to make the gzeira. And what Tosfos is pointing out is that to come on to Rashi, that's a tremendous chumrah. That's a tremendous, and what if we have a woman who's certain that she didn't see? Tosfos says that the reason that we have gzeira is because we have two factors. If Rashi b'cholzo didn't come on to these two factors, kind of read that Rashi, in the understanding of Shmuel, felt that there was no din of dam nidus, it was only a din of hargasha. Now, according to Rashi, the Gemara, in terms of Shmuel, went through two stages. First, it thought there was only a din of hargasha, and we'll define dam nidus by hargasha. Secondly, and kind of read that's the way Trumas Hadeshan understood in Rashi, and then the Gemara turns on its head and said there's no din of hargasha at all, there's only a din of ri'iyah. And Rav Ashi turned everything on its head. According to Tosfos, Rav Ashi didn't turn anything on its head. Shmuel always knew that there was a din of Ri'iyah and Hargasha. And just as what's added in is, aside from Ri'iyah and Hargasha, there's a third factor of Rav Nechemia of coming on a Makom Tohar. But the two factors remain all the time. And the Gzerach Samim is because of when you have one of two factors. Namely, I'm understanding Rashi in the light of Tosfos, that there was a much easier way of understanding the Gzeres Ksamim that wouldn't depend upon whether the woman is meditating, is not meditating, etc. The way Tosfos learns, if Rashi didn't learn that way, Kanere, he understood that Dam without Hargasha is not Dam Nidus. It's meaningless. It's meaningless.
The only still want a reason why they're Misakin, even if you have one of two factors.
Maybe that itself
can be just because of having one factor, but it's a bad and not going to be an actual Isser Misakin just because of the factor there. It's silly if you have a factor and there's motivation to make a Siyag or something. So this one factor and Dilma Argasha.
Okay, the one factor and perhaps Dilma Argasha, but Dilma Argasha on its own would not, according to Tosfos, would not be enough.
I'm saying that according to Rashi, but Rashi's talking about a case with Zeriya, so it's obvious that there's one factor. I understand how there could be a Pshan Rashi, I just think you could also
okay.
Answer Tosfos' question much simpler without coming out of the Chumash Hadeshan.
I hear. Okay, I hear that. Let's see other nafkiminis, so we'll see that l'chora, if this pshat is not Rashi, it's someone. So you want to call it the Trumas Hadeshan, call it the Trumas Hadeshan. Trumas Hadeshan certainly says it. That Hargasha alone is enough. I think that one can be daik that way in Rashi, but I hear what you're saying. It's not necessary. The second nafkamina also is very halachah l'maisa. It's a chavas das. Later on in Siman Kuf Tzadi Vav, it's Sifkatan Gimel. A woman is counting Zayin Nekiyim. A woman's counting Zayin Nekiyim, and she has a Re'iyah without a Hargasha. So in this situation, where she has a Re'iyah without a Hargasha, the Chavas Da says that even though normally a Re'iyah without a Hargasha is Tahora Mida Araisa, however, over here, it's going to be Soser Zayin Nekiyim. Mida Oraisa, it's not enough to turn her from a Tahora to a Tumeya, but if she had been Tumeya, and now she's counting Zayin Nekiyim, it's enough that she should remain Tumeya. Namely, if we learn like Rashi, so Lechora, if without Hargasha, there's no Dam. If there's no Dam, then there's nothing to break the Zayin Nekiyim. But if we understand like Tosfos, that no, there are two din. There's a din of Ri'iyas Dam and a din of Hargasha. And we have the two, then she's Tmeya Mida Oraisa. When we only have one, then she's Tahora Mida Oraisa. She may be Tahora Mida Oraisa, means we don't create Tuma in that manner. However, in terms of Zayin Nekiyim, she has a Ri'iyah. The Ri'iyah is Soser, the Zayin Nekiyim. We have something on the table, which is Soser Zayin Nekiyim. According to the Trumas Hadeshen, which I call Rashi, then there's nothing to be Soser the Zayin Nekiyim. Without a Hargasha, there's nothing. A third Nafgamina. What if we have a woman This is Rav Moshe. There's a tshuva Rav Moshe in Yoredeya Chelek Gimel, Siman Mem Vav, Chelek Beis. This is a very common situation. A woman tells us that she begins to have a re'iyah without hargasha, and then an hour later, she has a hargasha. And it happens that the first re'iyah is during the day, and the second one is at night, which is another day, which is halachically another day. And this happens 1 month, a month later, another month later, namely that she has this regularity, she has a vested kavua, she always sees drafts without hargasha during the day, and then she has a flow with hargasha at night. And the question is, when is her veset? What date does she put on the calendar? The day that she had the re'iyah without hargasha, or the day that she had the re'iyah with hargasha, where it's clear that we're dealing over here with a process. So Rav Moshe paskind that her veset is from the day. Because in Hachinami, without a hargasha, she's tahora to her husband. But the bottom line is she has a re'iyah. And that re'iyah is kaveh of the veset. I mean, this is like Tosfos, that we view a re'iyah without a hargasha as a re'iyah. It's a re'iyah that'll break Shiva Nekiyim. It's a re'iyah that will be koveya her veset. Without that re'iyah, hargasha is meaningless. But we have over here a re'iyah. Finally, the last nafgamina will take us back home to Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, which is what we plan to return to in Yitzh Hashem next time as well. When we have a woman who has a re'iyah without a hargasha, a re'iyah without a hargasha. Again, this is not uncommon. A woman will have a re'iyah all of a sudden that she sees blood, but she doesn't feel anything. How much blood does there have to be to make her tmeyah, to make her asr leba'ala? When she has a re'iyah with a hargasha, afilu ro'a tipas dam kechardal. When she has a ketem, she finds something on her underwear, need a gris. What about if she has a re'iyah without a hargasha? So that's a machlokes over here of Achronim. We have over here a sefer on the page called Toras Hashlamim. Very nice Achron. Very, very nice Achron. Toras Hashlamim. And he says that in such a situation, in this situation, here she didn't find blood on her underwear. She sees the blood coming out of her. When you have a re'iyah without hargasha, Tipas dam kachardal. In the Gilyon Hamarsha on the page, he says, Avo midrabanan tmei afa pishalo hirgisha, va'af bepachos mik gris. Kevan di yoda'at shiyotza migufa, yesh bo mishum ketem, da'ashiyo rak lohotzi misafik ma'akolas, teferis Yisrael lahagon Rav Yonasan. 1 second. Saying the same. I'm sorry, just 1 second. I'm sorry. I thought that there's, in other words, there, the Torah Shlamim and Rav Yonasan Eibshitz both say. Rav Yonasan Eibshitz is the author of the Kreisi Uplesi on Yoredeya. He has a sefer on Hilchos Nida called Tiferes Yisrael. It's generally in the same binding as the Kreisi Uplesi. So if you want to see Rav Yonasan Eibshitz and what you're learning, just take out a Kreisi Uplesi. Just open the after the Kreisi Uplesi on Yoredeya of Yisr Veheter. There he has this Tiferes Yisrael. The Toras Hashlamim is normally known as the Minchas Yaakov, because his most famous work on the Ramah. The Ramah wrote a sefer called Toras Chatos on Iser Veheter, and there's a perush on that sefer called Minchas Yaakov. That's usually what's quoted. So he wrote the Torah Shlamim. Many times they call it Minchas Yaakov. So over here they both agree that in a situation where there to be a re'iyah without a hargasha, it's enough to have tipas dam ke chardal. L'chora, this is taloi in our world of definition. This fits in nicely according to Tosfos. According to Tosfos, that we say that a re'iyah without a hargasha is a re'iyah. A re'iyah is afilu tipas dam ke chardal. That's chumras benos Yisrael of Rabbi Zeira. Had it been a ketem, had it been a din d'rabbanan, there you have a din of gris. According to the Trumas Hadeshen, a re'iyah without a hargosh is meaningless. It's not a re'iyah. It doesn't go beyond being a ketem, and therefore l'chora would have to have the shear of a gris. That would be alpi svara. In any case, even though I thought of you, in other words, the machokas that I thought of, I'm sorry, is in the Sidrei Tahara. I'm sorry. The Sidrei Tahara in Siman Kuf Tzadi, in Sifkatan Yud Aleph over there, he quotes two deos. So there is someone who's cholik. I don't recall who it is. So in any case, we have these nafkaminas. Okay, so what we have then is two basic chakiras. One chakira in terms of what is the nature of hargasha? Is it a condition? Is it a gzeres hakasuv? Or is it a birur? Nafkamin, if we have a birur from elsewhere, do we still need the hargasha? That's a machlokas rishonim, and we saw that most achronim, 90% of achronim, go in the direction that it's gzeres hakasuv. Once we have the gzeres hakasuv, do we understand that the hargasha is the sole condition? The hargasha defines the re'iyah? And if a woman simply has a hargasha, she's a nida mida oraisa, because that is the re'iyah. The re'iyah is the hargasha, and the hargasha is the re'iyah. Or do we say that we have two conditions? We have a re'iyah and a hargasha, and then nafkamina would be the truma sedeshin. What if a woman only has a hargasha without a re'iyah? Would she be tmeya mida oraisa? Truma sedeshin says yes. Do we pass along to truma sedeshin? And then the other nafkaminas that we gave that are assuming that there is more than hargasha, that there's a concept also of re'iyah, it would apply to the volume, it would be relevant to when she's kova adveset, it would be relevant to the world of Shiva Nakiyim, whether there is something there that would break the Shiva Nakiyim. Okay, so what we've left is what's called hargasha bet, namely, what exactly is a hargasha, what should a woman be feeling? For those of you who are married, when your wife will try to describe to you what she feels and ask, is this the hargasha that my Kala teacher spoke about? Hopefully you'll be able to give her a responsible answer. So that will do bleed out next time. That will be after the Rosh Hashanah, this coming, after the Rosh Hashanah Chabura, mini Chabura, this coming Monday. And then Bli Neder the following Monday, Ben Kesel Asar, right? So then we'll move on to the world of onus v'ratzon, right? Isha sheyatzad ha'mimekora bein ba'onus bein b'ratzon. What over here are these criteria? And is there any difference between onus and ratzon? Okay. Beseder. Then we'll begin to move outside of Sima. Then we still have to define dam. Okay, but that we'll see what we'll do. Okay. We will get beyond Kuf Pei Gimel. We will finish Hilchos Nida. Don't worry. We're still in Elul. Okay. Beseder.